philosophies in my experience and my experiment.
At the moment, Miko and I are watching Woodstock 99, the documentary that's on Netflix, and it is just transporting me back to a time and place that is not 2022. You know, it's taking me back to those days of my late teens, early 20s. I left school, my last year of school was 95. So that 96 to 2000 period was my uni days. And I spent a lot of that time at gigs and festivals. You know, I loved music. It's the reason that I got into radio, was that I just absolutely have always loved music. I sing, but I've never been particularly musical. I just have this really great appreciation for it. And I think, you know, like as a child, I was always lying between my parents. My dad had this big, amazing, this big, amazing Kenwood stereo system. And I used to play all his records and cassettes and just lie between the speakers listening to them, you know, Elton John, Yellow Brick Road, and my auntie gave me Whitney Houston, and I listened to that all the time on record. And then, like, you know, Crowded House and all that jazz. I've always loved music, and I've always appreciated musicians and artists. It's like, I love it, right? But anyway, Woodstock just took me to this time where, and like watching it, I'm actually really fucking horrified, right? Like I'm watching it unfold, because basically it's the story of a music festival that did not go to plan, right? And it was kind of ridiculous that they thought that they could recreate the peace, love and mung beans kind of vibe of 1969 in 1999. It was a very different time and place, right? Like we weren't all love, peace and mung beans. We were like the 90s, we were listening to Nirvana sing Rape Me. Like it was teenage angst, and you know, and like we were finding our voices. And yeah, and so it was a very different time. And the energy fueled behind it was very different. So it was just interesting. It's been like, well, horrifying to watch it, because, you know, there's just so much that in this that seems so ridiculous, but that I've experienced. Being a festival buff in the 90s meant that, you know, like it was just this dude, bro, angry, fucking white, you know, like cocksucker energy. They were just fucking idiots, so jacked up on amphetamines, you know, shirts off, fucking chest bumping each other, like, you know, they'd form those circles and they'd just run hardcore at each other and everyone, and who fucking cares who's around you, and you were often collateral damage, right? Like it was terrifying being in a mosh pit in the 90s. Like you really did, like it was exhilarating in some ways, but also fear for your life kind of shit. I remember seeing people come out of mosh pits at big day out. Like I remember one girl, she was stiff as a board. I thought she was dead, you know? And then a girl did fucking die at watching Limp Bizkit at big day out. You know, like it was hardcore, it was dangerous. But above that, like, you know, watching these crowd surges, and you know, there's 250,000 people at this festival, like it's fucking crazy. It's like, it's, your mind cannot comprehend that amount of people in, like, you know, this mosh pit that just goes for fucking kilometers. It's insane. And then on top of that, like, you know, the misogyny and the way young men treated women back then was atrocious. We were completely objectified. And, you know, and there's a lot of nudity at Woodstock, and, you know, and girls with their tops off. And that shit happened at festivals all the time. And what also happened at festivals was if you, like I dressed as a bloke most of the time, you know, like I dressed in, well, fashion was really gendered back then. And there was this real movement in the 90s of people like me dressing particularly in a masculine way, because if we weren't, we were objectified. And at least if we dressed masculine, we weren't as objectified as we would have been if we, you know, like wore a bra, and like the festival gear of these days was not at all safe back then. Just being a woman was not safe back then. You know, if you crowd surfed, there is no way you could get down from a crowd surf without having your pussy violated or just people groping your tits and your ass. Like, that was just the experience. And it's so weird to me that, like I remember going in when I was 18 and I went to school this week, I was on a cruise, you know, like a party cruise. And it was just an absolute shit show. But it was, you know, like drunk, you know, like fucking, I was always drunk. But I remember this one particular incident where I was walking through a crowd, and first of all, a friend, you know, one girl goes past, he grabs her on the ass, she turns around and looks at him. The next girl goes past, grabs him on the ass, she slaps him across the face. I walk past, he grabs me on the ass, and I fucking punch him. I punch him in the face, and I'm like, fuck you, do not touch my body. Right? But for the most part, it was just accepted that this was our experience as women. We would go out and we would be sexually harassed in a nightclub. That was the experience. At least it was my experience. And I know it was all of my friends' experience. I don't know if that was like overall the collective experience or just where I was hanging out. But, you know, like this was just the way it was. And things are so different now. I hope they are. I mean, I'm in 45 now. If I go to a music festival, no one's groping me. And that is part of like what is really fucked up about our society at the moment, is like this over, you know, this over idolization and celebration of youth and beauty over age and wisdom. And this is actually what I really wanted to talk about today, was like thinking about how far we've come, for sure, because like I am so grateful every day for the suffragettes who fought for our rights, and every woman in every generation since who has done their bit to make it easier for the next generation of women coming through, right? So that they can be liberated and be who they are and speak their minds and have power to change things. Because God knows, you know, it hasn't been very long that we've had these rights. I've spoken about this before, but, you know, it's only been 48 years that women have been able to have a credit card or have their own bank accounts. 48 years. I'm 45. It's almost my lifetime that women were first allowed to have their own money, for fuck's sake, and have, you know, like ownership over that. What the fuck? Like, no one. And so actually recently I've found myself attracting a lot of women who are 50 plus, you know, in their late 50s, early 60s, late 60s, looking. So they've lived this huge life. They've got all of this wisdom and experience, and they still are holding this conditioning of what it meant to be a woman 60 years ago, and what it meant to be a girl growing up 60 years ago. You know, even people of my generation, Gen X, we were told women should be seen and not heard. Get in the kitchen. These were the jokes. But they weren't jokes, right? They weren't jokes. They were humor, like just masking this misogynistic fucking grossness. And over the years, I've had to do a lot of work to undo that conditioning so that I can show up, because for me it is so important that as I age, I don't hide, I don't shame myself for it, I don't go into, you know, I continue to expand what's possible for me. I continue to speak. I continue to show up. I continue to be visible. Because women need to see. All women, young women need to see older women coming into themselves. And we need, as a, you know, like, ageism is a real thing. It's a real thing, and it's really fucked up. It's like this expectation that as we age, as women, we're no longer relevant. Like, it's our beauty and our youth that makes us relevant. If we're fuckable, then, you know, like, it's like the misogyny has just shifted. It's now less blatantly, you know, like, sexual harassment in terms of physically grabbing women and catcalling and all that kind of shit is dying out. But it doesn't mean that there's not this really, there's this deep layer of misogyny that values youth and beauty at all costs, right? And we can see that playing out in our obsession with staying youthful as we age. What a huge industry, you know, body modification is. Anti-aging, you know, it's like anti-aging, right? Like, it says it there. It's all there. It's all there, like, right in front of us. Anti-aging. What the fuck? Why are we so anti-aging? Why can't we embrace our age? Why can't we, like, be in love with the fact that we've had this huge life and all of this experience and we've got all this wisdom to share, and instead we're hiding away in the shadows? You know, and I have been attracting a lot of women to work with me, particularly in podcasting and in the human design space, because they've lived their life and they've raised their children if they did that, you know, and they're coming into this space where they're ready to reclaim their lives and have the impact that they always wanted to have, but it was never the priority because there was so much social conditioning about what it meant to be a mom and what you had to sacrifice and, you know, and what it meant to be a woman, and that, you know, society has shown us that women of a certain age, we don't really want to hear from, right? Unless they're fuckable. So for me, it's really just so important, and I urge anyone who is, you know, heading towards that crone phase of your life, the perimenopause, heading into menopause and beyond, to step up, to move through the fear and all of the stories that stop you from expressing who you are in the world, because we need to see you. We need to hear you. And if we're going to change this attitude towards women as they age, it starts with us. Nobody else is going to give this to us. The same way nobody else gave us safety in our own bodies, right? We had to claim that for ourselves. We had to claim the right to fucking vote. We had to claim the right to have our own money, own our own property, have our own right to exist outside of men's ownership, right? And now we have to claim our space as leaders and as elders in this world, because nobody's going to give this to us. We know that. Nothing is given to a woman without a fight. And maybe that's some kind of limiting belief, but if I look back in history, it's the truth so far. Like, what we're doing right now, we're doing not only for ourselves, but for future generations. Because I know I am eternally grateful for the suffragettes and for every woman who wore pants, you know, when it was like, oh, pants. And for the woman, for the, you know, the women, like, you know, I hope that someday someone will thank me for the guy I punched in the face after he grabbed my fucking ass, right? Like, I do this for myself. I do it for the women who came before me, so that they can not die with the music in them. And I also do this for the younger generation, because they're going to age, and I don't want them to have to be invisible. I want them to be able to express themselves and be seen and valued and have their voices heard right up until the day they die, and then have some kind of legacy left afterwards. This is what I want for women. So yeah, this is a plea for anyone who wants to get their voice out there in some kind of meaningful way, right? Like, you want to start that podcast, please fucking start that podcast. If you want to start, you know, sharing more on Instagram, please fucking make yourself visible so I can follow you and share your wisdom with the world. Like, move beyond all the stories that you've got around what it means to be seen. The fear of persecution, the fear of, you know, like, what are people going to think about me? You know, like, all of that conditioning that we've experienced, we have to move beyond if we're going to change the future. So that's it from me today. Get your fucking voice out there. Until next week, not next week, but whenever it is, it's appearing to be like every few days at the moment. I've got a lot to say. But until next time, peace out. Carlos and Bees, I'm Carly Nimmo.